And we welcome you now for an impromptu this Friday morning here on WFMT, which is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And we welcome you now to the Levin Performance Studio for a performance by a chamber orchestra gathered in our studio this morning. A young, innovative orchestra it is, based in New York City, fresh off a performance last night at Martin Theater at Ravinia Festival with mezzo-soprano Susan Graham. A very program they played from Henry Purcell to John Adams last night. They're going to have Mozart, Dvorak, and new music for us this morning on WFMT. I'm joined by one of the founders of this wonderful organization out of New York. We're going to be hearing a little bit about your new recording, Azul, in which you collaborate with Yo-Yo Ma. Colin Jacobson, welcome. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for schlepping all the way to the WFMT studios to play for us.
Great to be here, Dennis.
You're based in New York. I know the New Yorker recently said you've become one of Brooklyn's sterling cultural products. Tell us a little bit about the Knights. Give us a nice overview of what it is this orchestra is all about.
Sure, in 30 seconds. Well, I'd say the Knights are a collection of extraordinary individual musicians who come from all walks of the New York musical life and come together for the shared joy of musical exploration, and that takes many different forms. We love the tradition we come from, Mozart, etc., and people have so many different talents, and they you know, bring them to the group, bring to bear their expertise, and we try to give those a platform over the course of a season. And we are based in Brooklyn, and many of our early experiences were there. So we have a season in Brooklyn, but we love to tour, we love to make recordings, do all of that stuff.
And as you were mentioning, you're flexible. You're flexible in size and repertoire and dedicated to transforming the way people enjoy concerts. So let's get right to your first piece, which is Mozart's Symphony No. 40, the next to the last symphony Mozart composed, the G minor symphony, one of the most influential of all Mozart's works. Beethoven copied out parts of it in one of his sketchbooks, and later Robert Schumann described the work as possessing Grecian likeness and grace. Here are the Knights now with Symphony No. 40 of Mozart.
Thank you.
one of the glories of Mozart's late symphonic output brought to life here for us live on WFMT this Friday morning by the Knights, performing Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor. And we're so glad to have this group with us here in the Levin Performance Studio. I'm Dennis Moore, and you're hearing this live broadcast on WFMT. By the way, if you just tune in the middle of that, you want to catch the whole performance, be sure to stop by WFMT.com a little later, and you can hear this impromptu again on our website. The Jacobsons, the driving force behind the Knights. We heard from Colin Jacobson, who was playing with the group there, a violin. Cellist Eric Jacobson joins me at the microphone right now. And you know, when you think about what's happening here this morning, of course, this is what you might call large-scale chamber music.
But absolutely.
I've always had a little problem with chamber music because it really refers more to scale than the essence of the music. It's all chamber music in a way because you can fit practically any group of musicians into a room if it's big enough. But your group got started with the idea of people getting together and playing at home, just having fun, right?
In a room just a little smaller than this, we'd play chamber music more or less all night long and eat and drink and hang out, and it ended up that a group of friends started finding a way to make music together and wanted to continue to do so, and here we are with you in your chamber playing music.
Exactly.
With you.
Well, it's one thing to just get together and have score reading parties. It's another to get an orchestra established, recording CDs, having a series of concerts, your home season in Brooklyn at the downtown venue Brick, the second season coming up soon. So that's a big leap. How long did it take to go from people getting together to actually forming the orchestra?
I don't remember any of it. I blacked out the entire time. I think it's really about friends putting in time and building something. And I think the entire course of the Knights was really, let's make this thing together. And on stage, things were happening. I wasn't playing in that, nor was I conducting that. And I was just sitting there listening to the beauty that was happening. And in the third movement, I was really quite emotional listening to everyone do this. And it felt like one of those moments where, like, this is the reason why we put in the time, why everyone commits themselves to playing music. That beauty in the world is that reason.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this new release of yours, the CD called Azul. But I wanted to also touch on the diversity of your venture. You have composers, arrangers, singers, songwriters. That came about through just the artistic forward direction of the group. It just sort of took shape naturally.
Well, everyone in the group has different values in what type of music comes to the front in their mind, and I think that's why different things make their way to the top in both a recording like this recording that we did with Yo-Yo Ma, when we have a piece written by Osvaldo Golioff, and we have a piece arranged by Carolyn Shaw, and we have a piece arranged by our horn player who's in the room right now, Michael Atkinson, and all these things sort of come into play. And the next piece that we're going to hear is a piece by Dvorak that we thought, well, if you're making a recording with Yo-Yo Ma, geez, you better put a little Dvorak on it. And this song was something that we thought of because it's something that he had never done. It's not very often done instrumentally, and we thought this would be a perfect thing to add to that album.
And it's one of the most glorious pieces for the soprano voice from the operatic repertoire. The title character, Rusalka, sings it, the song to the moon.
It's so incredible. It tells a story. Rusalka falls in love. She's the daughter of a water goblin, and she falls in love with a prince that comes and probably skinny dips in her lake. And she falls in love, and she wants to be a human because that's the only way they could be together. And so what she does, she makes more or less a deal with the devil, and she says, I'll give up my voice. I'll give up my beauty so I could be with him. And I think it tells sort of the moral of, well, if you're changing yourself so much to fit in, what happens? And of course, the horrible thing is that he rejects her after she makes this change. And I think it also speaks about, you know, the lack of beauty in a particular world is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear now just these two instruments, from the full orchestra down to violin and piano. Colin Jacobson, violin, Steve Beck, piano, getting ready to play Dvorak. Here's the Song to the Moon from the opera Rusalka.
Thank you.
Dvorak, Song to the Moon from Ruzalka. Coming from the new album of the Knights, the two musicians we heard there were Colin Jacobson, one of the artistic directors and founders of the Knights. He played violin with Steve Beck, piano. The Knights' new album featuring Yo-Yo Ma released earlier this year. They made their debut at the Kennedy Center this past spring as part of the inaugural Shift Festival and traveled to the Easter Festival in Aix-en-Provence and toured through Germany. You performed at Carnegie Hall. You were just last night at Ravinia Martin Theater, Vienna's Musikverein, and Hamburg's beautiful new Elbphilharmonie. You get around, Colin.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, we like to play where people want to listen to live music or listen on the radio. We just want to play music all the time.
Yeah, and you're going to go on a U.S. tour not to too long from now with the Israeli mandolinist Avi Avital and the Syrian clarinetist and composer Kenan Asmeh.
In November, yeah, we're looking forward to that around the States, yeah.
Yeah.
And both amazing virtuosos and very creative individuals, and we're looking forward to creating a whole program, both of classics, and Avi plays the Bach harpsichord concerto and transcribes it to the mandolin, but all sorts of other stuff, including original music by Kenan.
Well, you have one more piece from Asul. The concept behind this, if you can summarize, is exactly what?
Well, I think it's an album of celestial music. So for those who are looking for a soundtrack for the eclipse on Monday, we can recommend Azul, both the concerto for Yo-Yo, which was sort of the point of departure for the whole album, because in that piece, he asks the cellist and the orchestra to sort of both look up at the heavens from below and have the perspective of looking down on this beautiful planet we live on. And I think it, particularly the proximate cause was he had been in Israel in the summer of 2000 when the Second Intifada broke out and violence and had observed that, and then was at the planetarium like a week later with his son and saw these incredible images that you can see in a planetarium of the Earth from above, borderless and peaceful and full of blue, and reconciling those that cognitive dissonance that you have with those kind of experiences. So Ascending Bird is the piece we're about to do, is about a bird that tries to reach the sun, and is a very old tale coming from Iran. And I wrote this with a friend of mine named Siamak Agai, who plays the hammered dulcimer from Iran. But he's a little bit like a modern-day Bartok. He goes around Iran to small villages in the mountains and records old masters, many of whom are dying out, playing unusual instruments, folk instruments from Iran, like the original tune of Ascending Bird was played actually on an instrument made out of the fused bones of a bird. And so, in a way, mm-hmm. the story is encoded, and also the actual bird is part of the music.
Sounds like he's carrying on the proud tradition of Bela Bartok, going around and recording
exactly.
musicians and steeping himself in the music of the people.
Yeah.
So that comes through in this piece, Ascending Bird? You think that
I think
experience?
So. Yeah, I mean, the skeleton of that melody is what he transcribed for his instrument, the santur, for the rhythmic section, which is the second part of the piece. And I added further layers to that and wrote an introduction for the piece.
So it would be fair to say you co-composed this with Siamak Agai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything to listen for to prepare those who are tuning in for this live broadcast right now?
I know
we've got a percussion instrument that was brought in at the last minute, thanks to our producer Louise Frank.
Yes, and also the endless creativity of Michael Catarizano, who's playing, I don't know what he's playing over there, but he's just improvised basically what he's playing on this piece, and which is really cool. And I mean, to listen for in the rhythmic part, there are three rhythmic cycles which depict the bird trying to reach the sun three times and then eventually getting there.
Well, here it is, Ascending Bird with the Knights, live on WFMT from the Levin Performance Space.
Thank you.
Music based on an ancient Persian myth of the bird attempting to fly to the sun, Ascending Bird, by Iranian composer Siamak Agai, co-written with the Knights Colin Jacobson, and performed here live on WFMT by this group, the Knights. It's from their new album, Asul, featuring the cellist Yo-Yo Ma, who happens to play the introduction on this piece. A varied program it is, and we've enjoyed hearing music from that new album and to experience the Knights firsthand live on WFMT. Always a joy to have these musicians in the studio. They performed at Ravinia and Martin Theater last night with mezzo-soprano Susan Graham. And they're going to embark on their second home season in Brooklyn in partnership with the downtown venue Brick, with concerts and evening performances. And then in November, go on tour with Avi Avital and Kinan Osmay, mandolin and clarinet, respectively. It's been a great joy having you once again at the microphone, one of the Jacobsons. We have Eric Jacobson, who is leading the Knights in that performance.
So beautiful. And playing Yo-Yo's solo today was Caitlin Sullivan on cello.
Yes.
It does feel strange to play these pieces and then there's silence after, and just hoping that sending it out there, somewhere out there, someone's applauding.
Oh, I think the suggestion...
Keep your hands on the wheel, though, if you're in the car.
Suggestion for yeah. But the suggestion for Monday afternoon for the solar eclipse, put the iBuds in, make sure you have the correct protected,
yes,
certified eyewear if, yeah, you're looking up. And this is a great musical accompaniment. Thanks for joining us for this impromptu on WFMT. You can listen to this whole thing again on our website, WFMT.com. It'll be available later at WFMT.com. I'm Dennis Moore. Thanks for joining us for this impromptu, an impromptu that was made possible through the efforts of Mary Mazurek, who is our technical engineer, Louise Frank, our producer. Special thanks to all of the musicians here in the studio for the music stands we got, the extras from Northeastern Illinois University, Josh Savageau, who collected them. And this impromptu is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to the arts and culture, and generous gifts from members of the Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support WFMT. Quick and easy, the process. Become a sustaining member now by pledging online at WFMT.com.